got a little bag this morning. That's your law count. Yeah, not mine. Okay, just wanted to make that. It's good to see John, Luana and Levi. Yeah. Ange, could you put them lights out? It's the nearest one to the door, which isn't on. The other end. The other end. No, that's the spotlight. That one off. And the next one to it off. That's it. Great. Brilliant. Thank you. I've struggled with what I want to share today, and that's not a negative. And I'll say this again later, this isn't about me this morning, this is about us. But I've struggled in what to leave out and what to put in, because I'm learning that I can't go past where I am myself, what God is working out of me. Now, it doesn't mean we don't teach into and we don't create the environment for what I'm about to share. We do. But I'm conscious that I don't want what I'm going to share with you to be head knowledge. I want it to come from the heart. Because what I want to do this morning, I want to update you in part. And I pray that will be revelation, a freshness about it again, not just information. But I also want to share with you a blueprint I believe is to be kingdom culture in this church. And it's happening. But we're on a journey. So, it's not about throwing everything that's gone out the window. This is where we are as a church on our journey. But I want you to remember two things throughout this morning, okay? And the first is Jeremy Simpkins' word to us as a church and to Wildwood that he gave to us at Borderlands in 2013, where he said, "I feel God would say that he's been doing some foundational rearranging in both churches. Some foundational work in both churches for one reason and for one reason alone. He is positioning you for growth." Now, some of that will become clear as what I'm going to share. So I want you to remember that. And the second thing I want you to remember and to think about this morning are kangaroos and emus. Okay? Can you do that? Can you picture them? Right. Okay. Do you know what a kangaroo and an emu have in common? They are. That's very good, Sandra. Well, what they both have in common is they both find it very difficult to go backwards. A kangaroo, because of its shape and its long, powerful tail, is very quick at going forward. I was going to do my Skippy impression, Jim, but I'm not going there. But it's very strong and powerful in going forward, but it finds it very difficult to go backwards. And the same with an emu. They've got very strong, powerful legs, but their joints make it difficult to go backwards. Now, they're both Australian, as Sandra quite correctly said. And they're both on the Australian coat of arms. And do you know why they do that? It's because it's symbolic that as a nation, they'll always be moving forward and making progress. So when you watch the reruns of Skippy, or you see Rod Hull and Emu, remember. But that's the two things I want you to remember. Transition from Jeremy's word is a positive in God's church. It's something that we should be doing and moving forward. And I'll come back to the second about emus and kangaroos. But Paul talked around this whole subject, not kangaroos and emus, but he said to the Philippians in Philippians 3:13-40, he says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." That's what our approach should be to a life of faith. And then one other aspect in this not going backwards. Have you noticed that in the armour of God in Ephesians 6, there are no back plates? There's nothing to protect our backs. And that's important because it means that we're ill-equipped to retreat. We're not, as it were, designed to retreat. We fight from a place of victory in Christ. So in everything I share this morning, I want you to remember that transition is part of our journey to position and grow us. And we're called to keep moving forward, progressing as a church in his plans and purposes. So I wanted to do a brief update on several things. The first being our new facility. That's it, by the way, but that looks nice, doesn't it? I'd take that. Yeah, I would take that. So I just wanted to remind, particularly for maybe those that have joined us in this last year, of where we are at. Because I know it has seemed it's quite quiet, but I'll come to why I believe there's a purpose for that a bit later. But in April 2013, in conjunction with the Housing Association, we made an offer on a plot of land, which everyone knows as Wheelhouse Road. That's it there. Yeah. Now, that was in April. There it is again. We felt prophetically that that was the right piece for several reasons. It was somewhere that no one could have imagined, and there's a whole story behind that, and if you want to ask about that, I'll tell you that after. It was a place where people have to go past. It's on, right on the edge of the ring road. There's loads of people and traffic go past it. It's a standout place. And also we had a prophetic word about God would send great waves of his spirit down the canal. Well, there's the canal there. So what I'm about to share at this time, I don't feel anything has changed in regards to Wheelhouse Road, but we must stay open to God. I don't want us to be tunnel vision. We want to be doing his will. So the present position is this. When we made our offer, somebody else made an offer, and they made a more of an offer than us. So it took us, I think, literally to Christmas even to find out who this person was. It's been that difficult. But what we have done recently, because we don't feel God has said shut yet, what we've done recently is Provision, who are the architects we're working with, they have given the selling agent to pass on to the person that's purchasing what our intentions would be with that piece of land. Because we've sensed, so we have nothing confirmed this, that he might be after further land around. So we've done that. Now at this moment, no planning permission has gone in on his behalf. No money's even been paid for the land. It's just sitting there, which I don't find unsurprising, really, but it's just sitting there. So Provision are keeping an eye on it, are watching it for us, but I sense if this is the right place, God's holding that for us, because it's more about what he's doing this end, and when you look back in this year, what he's done with us, than it is about Wheelhouse Road. And I say that because this, bricks and mortar are important to a degree, aren't they? Because we can't be in anything if it's not built with mortar. But land is more important than bricks and mortar. You only have to look in the Bible at the spiritual significance of land. And we believe God has prophetically spoken over us about being a people who enter the promised land. Very much around this whole thing of Joshua and the book of Joshua. But if you want to take another step from that, what's more important than land is the people that enter the land. A people prepared by God to enter that land. Because a people that he has prepared will define the shape of the facility. When Provision will build a building, it won't be because of bricks and mortar. It will be shaped by the people and what God has called that people to do within that facility. So, what has taken place in this last year? Well, briefly, we've had a community valuation done by Provision, and I believe it's all preparation for our move. And this is a document that shows and puts it into a language that councillors, if you want to raise funds, etc., shows what it would cost community to do what we do. See, we take what we take as a lot as granted, but actually, if someone else was doing this, this would cost them. So this puts into their language the cost of what that would be. We also had a feasibility study done in November on our site. Was it feasible to sell? Was it feasible to build? And actually, that brought up a couple of quite serious issues regarding our current place. Now, they're being addressed, but I'm just thankful for God that actually they got highlighted before we'd sold or redeveloped, because that would have cost us a lot more money. So they're being addressed. We're in the process of moving solicitors from our current ones to ones that work more closely with Provision, all ready for when we move, build, develop. We're more in tandem and in key with ready for the benefit of moving, for starting to move. We're also now meeting and looking at meeting more regularly with Provision. They came in at a level which they don't normally do. We were looking at Wheelhouse Roadside. They really want to get in to our vision. And this whole thing I'm going to share with you, culture, I've shared with them, and we're starting a journey with them which will only be of benefit. So that's where we are with facility. If and I'm honest, if it's gone off your radar, then just ask the Lord to re-envision you. Because it isn't about time, it's about the journey we're on. And it's significant what God's doing with us, more so. The building is the last thing. The last thing. It's about the people. Then it's about the land. Then it's about the facility. Now, as I said, a church should always be in transition, in moving forward. And there was a sense from Jeremy's word that I've said this, I really felt 2014 is a year of transition for us. And I've not told them this for a reason. They'll make it clear in a minute. But when God brings about change, his kingdom it's always a positive. It's never a negative. It always has purpose. It always has momentum. It's about moving people and church forward. It's always releasing, it's always raising, and bringing people into new seasons. And I had a real sense as we came into 2014 that within the directors, I needed to release some. Either so they could enter into a new season themselves, and plus because I felt some were doing quite a bit extra than what they were doing. Now, there is a second reason, and I'll come to that in the moment. And the reason I haven't said anything is because I know some didn't really want me to acknowledge the fact that they have been directors. So I'm going to come to why I think I needed that in a minute. But I want you to remember, what I'm talking about, this is nothing negative. This is progress for the way forward. So I'll just start. Dave and Marie, how long have you been trustees or directors? 18 years. Yeah. 17, is it probably? It's been a long time. Yeah. Now, I became increasingly conscious of how much this couple do for Rugeley Food Bank and the weight that that carries. And I wanted to release them to be able to do that, because it's only going to get busier for directors with it going into facility in some respects. And I wanted to release them for that. But I believe, and I haven't told them this, I believe them releasing you, actually, there's a new season for you to come into that's not just about Rugeley Food Bank. So, it's important, and I'm going to talk about culture on, it's important that we get into a culture of honouring. Because what I'm going to do now, I am thanking Dave and Marie from the bottom of my heart for what you've done as serving as trustees or directors. I am. And I mean that. But what I'm also doing is honouring what God has done through you in serving this church. Because ultimately it's God we're giving the honour to. But I want to thank you for that. And this is how I want to do it. I want to give you chocolates that say thank you. But they're by the by, really. They're not the reason. I'm not going to call you up because I don't want to. No, Dave, one each, Dave. But it would have been easy to give you a bottle of wine. You're not having that. I wanted to give you something that would be a doorway into your new season. Because I want to say to you is, you grasp your true identity in Christ and you will soar like eagles that we've just spoke of. You will come into things that you cannot imagine at this time. So I want to give you a doorway, and it's called the Supernatural Ways of Royalty. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. And what my secretary has written in here for me was, Dear Dave and Marie, we thank you for serving Rugeley Community Church so faithfully over the years as trustees and directors. May this book be the doorway to helping you grow into your new season. With love from Rugeley Community Church. And it's a book you've got to read, and you've got to read, and you've got to read. It's not the Bible, but it's people that help you in coming into your true identity and all that God has for you. So now, church, I want you to stand, and I want you to applaud this couple for what they have done and served you over these years. And it's come to you. Now, I meet with Charles quite regularly. We slog it out over lunch, but we don't have big stuff, do we, Charles? No, thank you. Now, in meeting with Charles, I challenged him. What was his heart? What did he want to do? And I believe in our meeting, in our talking, I got a real sense that for his heart, he wants to be more involved in the pastoral care of this church. But that includes the umbrella of marriage course, positive parenting, prayer ministry. And I know that's his heart. So I want to release him to fulfill his heart's desire and dreams. Because I believe they are. And I believe in an element of that he'll be a benefit to the prayer ministry. He's got a real heart to teach and to help release those in to a greater measure of our God. So I'm releasing him. So for you, Charles, I got you flowers. No, I didn't. I got you a little thank you. And you're the only one to eat them, okay? You're the only one. And for you, this is another great book. I got you Culture of Honour. You take this. This is not the Bible. But again, I've written exactly the same in here. Let this be the doorway to your prayer ministry. Because this book will release you. And again, it's not a book you can read once. You've got to read it and read it. But these are people that are further down the road and journey with us. Now, how long have you been a trustee stroke director, Charles?
20 years.
Okay. Church, I want you to thank him for the way he has served us so faithfully. You can stand up. Okay, I quickly want to say. Now, there is a second reason, and don't see this as a negative, please, because it's not. Because as a team that's been with Dave, Marie, Charles, Alan, myself, Richard, Eric, and Bill has joined lately, I don't know what a word I want to use, but you know what I mean. Yes, nearish. Listen, we've been through some tough times as a church, and I wouldn't be where I am without those guys. And as a team, the nature of it was very reactive, and that's what we needed for that season. But part of this transition is now we need to move into being a proactive team. I say, I wouldn't be where I am without these guys around me. So there's been changes. So I've released them into their new seasons. But I've brought people in that will hopefully give us that ethos of being proactive. So I want to introduce, if you didn't know, where's Bill? Is he? Oh, okay. Well, you know Bill's there. Bill's in Sunday Glebium. But Alan, Eric, can you stand, please? Richard Smith, Andy, where's Andy? Is he out? Oh, Andy's out, okay. And Wendy. Okay. Now, I want you to remember who they are, because when we break down into groups at the end, I want you to make sure you pray for us within our fellowship groups. And I want you to be praying for this team of being a proactive team in taking us forward. So you'll know some, but others have been added. And I've brought them in because of their giftings. And I wanted it to still be rounded. I wanted a lady to still be in us. And I'd have more ladies. I don't have an issue with that, because they bring a different dimension, as us men know. But it can be very helpful. So I want you to remember who is, and pray for Bill and Richard. But when you're in your fellowship group, please pray for us, for all that we're going and coming into. Okay, thank you. Right. I want to talk to you about a blueprint the rest of the time. Because as I said, what's more important than land is a people prepared of God to go into that land. And I want to outline a blueprint for kingdom culture for a Rugeley Community Church. And please hear me when I'm saying this. A, it's not about me. B, it's not chucking everything out. Oh, and this is what we're going to try now. This is where we are on our journey and what God is bringing us into. There's no way, if you come out this morning and all you remembered, oh, well, that's where Richard is, then I failed. It's not about me. It's about us together, okay? So that's been my prayer, because whether it's Jacqueline, whether it's you, or whether it's I, we all make up the family that's Rugeley Community Church, and we all have an effect on each other. And that's a sobering note, actually, because whether that's a blessing or what we do with our lives outside of when we gather has an effect on everyone else. And what I'm about to share, and this is my thing, I'm not going to share structure, I'm not going to share steps, I'm sharing culture. And so I want you to look round and see who's not here. You can all do that. And I want you to encourage them to get this, because this isn't about one Sunday, this is about a way of life. Because culture isn't about structure or programs. Culture, as the dictionary says, is a word for people's way of life, meaning the way groups do things, the ideas, customs, and social behavior of a particular people, or society, the attitudes and behavior characteristics of a particular social group. This is about a blueprint for living life as sons and daughters of the Most High. This is what we're called to be. And kingdom culture grows in us individually as we catch it, and it comes from impartation and revelation. You can't just understand it or be taught it. We have to catch it. It's a process that creates kingdom culture. It's interaction with God as he breathes life into our next steps. It's about his word, his culture, getting deep within us until it becomes a part of us. So we don't want to be quoting what we know. We want to be telling what we live. So it needs to settle in us. It needs to affect us. It's how we live life and do life and how we think. But it's nothing new. It's kingdom values. Yet on the other hand, if we catch kingdom culture, we will be an unrecognizable church. We'll be a church without walls. And what is encouraging is people are catching this, even before I've said anything, which encourages me, because it's not about me. It's about what God is doing. But I want to give you a journey that we've been on. And this journey started for Jacqueline and myself in 2008, when we visited IHOP, which is the International House of Prayer in Kansas. We went on a Wednesday and we came back on a Monday. It's crazy, really, when you think about it. But you've got to do these things when God says, haven't you? So there is sometimes always a cost. But if you're open to what God will want to say to you and be used of him, then you've got to go by what he says and leads. And what I want to say is, this isn't, when we go to somewhere like this, we don't go just as a couple, we're going as Rugeley Community Church. And hey, maybe we'll go together. There's a cost in that, Rich. And I only get so much leave. Yeah, I only had so much leave when I had that. There is a cost. But if God tells you that, this isn't about the special few going. You know what I'll have to do? Take the whole church. Yeah, I would. But okay, that isn't always practical. But listen, please don't think. If God stirs you, the next time we're saying we're off to somewhere and you want to come, hey, you're more than welcome. Because this is about us as family together. We had 8 pages of prophetic words spoken over us in Kansas, and I'm going to tell you it all. No, I'm not. I'm going to give you one sentence that's relative to now. And remember, this is in 2008. God will use you to bring a cultural shift and an atmosphere shift in what you do. And if I'm honest, I didn't know at all what they were talking about. But that's okay. You know, I was still working full time. I thought, what do they mean by this? You know, I wasn't even leading the church at this time. But God knows the plans and purposes he has for us. Then, as many of you will know, last October, that's me on the left, we visited, that's me in the hat, yeah. We visited Bethel in California. And while we were in IHOP, what God seeded in us, God really watered in Bethel. In what we saw, in what was prayed over us, in just being in an atmosphere and culture that God had seeded in us. And we caught a blueprint for Rugeley Community Church around this whole thing of being atmosphere changers, of changing the culture, not just of the church, but the community around us. Now, what I want to say is this. The basis for this culture isn't IHOP, isn't Bethel, isn't Christ Central, isn't Jacqueline and me. The basis of this culture is being the people that we're called to be as Rugeley Community Church. We're not to look like any other church. We're to be the church that God has called us to be. And the blueprint for this, the basis of it, comes from Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is a church without walls. This is a people who are living kingdom culture, who are living kingdom lives. And why should we be any different today? It's the same God, it's the same Holy Spirit. It's the people that we're called to be. So I want to draw out 5 kingdom values from these verses that, as I said, can only briefly outline. We're in this journey for years. So what I'm outlining today is only a blueprint, but threads that I'm praying that God will begin to stir in you also. Because it's about us creating an environment to allow kingdom culture to grow for that impartation and revelation. But on your part, it's about you choosing to place yourself in that environment. Don't try and understand it. Hey, I don't, and I'm leading you. Now, don't let that worry you. But I'd rather not know but be obedient to God and walk into the next steps and let him grow this, then it become my idea or theology. I want it to be all about him. So, the first kingdom value. I believe it's having a strong identity in Christ. And this really is a key to every other value that I will share. I'm not talking about who you think you are in Christ. I'm talking about who God says you are in Christ. And there's a great vastness between those two quotes that I've just said. It's not about who you think you are, it's who God says you are. So who does God say we are? I will be like a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. So you're a son, you're a daughter, you're an heir. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. Do you hear that? A holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And I could go on. That's without going into that you're a bride of Christ. These are all words. But you know, I can guarantee you, most of us struggle with our identity in Christ. And if you don't, you've had in the past. And if you're not, you probably will have a season when you do. Because in ministry, in the way people speak to me, the way they act and respond and attitude, most of those issues are based in their identity. See, the problem is most of us can hear words like, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a priesthood, I'm a chosen one, I'm a bride, I'm loved. Most of us can hear that. But do you believe it? See, the nation we live in, it's strange. It says you mustn't raise yourself up. But it encourages you to raise yourself up so it can knock you down. That's not kingdom value, that's worldly values. We're to be the people that Christ has called us to be. And you are a royal priesthood, so you should be a royal priesthood whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whether you're in the family, but to the nations. That's what God has said of us. We are to bring the best out of people because of what is in within us. The trouble is, you can't bring out the best of someone if you don't know the best what's in you. A strong identity means we don't do anything for identity. We're not Marthas. We do things because of identity. We're Marys. We work from love, not to love. And they're all little short sayings, but actually, they have a vast effect on our life. When we're doing things and serving, when life becomes a meeting, I've got to put the chairs away. That's serving because you feel you have to serve. When we love someone, we do it naturally. And that's how our life should be. Yeah, principles will always bring a measure of fruit. But intimacy and the presence brings forward a great harvest. John 15:4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It's relationship. That's what Jesus is talking about. Relationship. It's fruitfulness from knowing who I am in Christ. And knowing that I am loved. Okay, Richard, I can take that, knowing who I am. Liked, loved, okay. He loves and likes me. Do you know that in your heart? He loves you, he likes you. Yeah, but he doesn't know. Yeah, he does know. He did know. He does know what you did last week, what you did last night, what you said last week, and still he loves you and he likes you. It's learning to love yourself as much as he loves you. Well, that's very arrogant, Richard. No, that's who you are. That's who you are in Christ. Love yourself as much as he loves you. God has given this church a great call, I believe. Therefore, it's going to take a great people to fulfill that call. If we fail to see our greatness in him, we will fall short of our call. Now, I gave Dave and Marie this book, didn't I? I've got 5 copies of this book, which I've got at a discounted rate. It's only a little bit, but this isn't the Bible, but this will change your life. I'm reading it. Well, we've read it that many times. We don't know whose sticker's in whose copy, because all it becomes is one blur of these little stickers that you stick in it. But this will help you in your identity. This will help you with your culture. This will help you in all that I'm going to share, because it comes from people who are further down the journey than us. And I'm not trying to be like them, but I want to be what God has called me to be. A son and a daughter of the living God. So if you want a copy of this, I think I put it here, you can see me after, okay? And you can purchase one off of me. I can get more. I know there are some already reading this, but I would encourage you, get it and read it, and read it again and read it again. So the second kingdom value is us being family together. You look at those verses that we've read in Acts 2, 42 to 47, and they were doing life together. They were family together. They were aware of each other's needs. They were meeting socially and formally. You know, when a church truly lives life as family, people won't just come to church, they'll become the church. Did you hear that? We won't just come to church, we become the church. It will no longer be a place that we just go to. It will be the tribe that you belong to. And as a people, we have a responsibility for one another. No, Richard, that's your job. No, it's not. Sorry, if you think that's my job, then I would go away and pray about that. I'm to lead you and to pastor you and to watch over the flock. But I don't see in the Bible where it says I do it all. We are family together. And we're here for one another. In the good times, in the bad times, in sickness and in health. You're going to pray for those who are sick in your fellowship groups, because there are a great number at this moment. But it's more than that. Kingdom family is a covenant. We're under the covenant of Jesus Christ. When we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we entered into a covenant with him, but also to within his family. It's a commitment to one another that's serious. You know, I read the other day, the latest poll says a committed church person is somebody that goes to church twice a month. And I'm thinking, well, what poll are they? There's two things. What poll, who are they asking? And secondly, that doesn't tie up commitment twice a month. Now, commitment, I'm not talking about meetings. And this is where our culture has got to change. I'm not talking about meetings. I'm talking about life together. Where is a family, if you're living in close proximity, would you see? Where would I go home and see Jacqueline twice a month? And I'm not going any further than that. That's not kingdom. These people, these brothers and sisters in the early church were living life together. See, it's about being a contributor to this family, not a consumer. If you feel that this church should just be meeting your needs, then again, please pray about that. I see you for who you are in Christ and what God can give. And again, it's not using people just because of their roles or their giftings. This is what makes up the family. There's so much I'm laying a blueprint, so I need to stop. So that's family. So it's identity, it's family, it's fellowshipping together. It's interesting, isn't it? In Acts, it doesn't just say that they fellowshipped together, they devoted themselves to fellowship. So they didn't just have fellowship, they devoted themselves to fellowship. It's one of the objectives for gathering together. They made fellowship a priority. Now this is where I'm going to murder a Greek word, okay? So the root word that's used here for fellowship is koinos. Anyway, good. You don't know it, do you? No, good. So that is right how I've pronounced that, okay? But it means common, mutual, public. And there's two ideas within this word. The first is to share together, to take part in a sense of partnership and participation. And the second is to share within a sense of giving to others. Fellowship groups play a big part in fellowshipping together. The early church learned of the priority of spending time together. But it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes commitment. But as we saw in Acts, it produces fruit when they fellowshipped together. So what environment can we create to help along that, besides what we're going to do? Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going on a church holiday. Yes. For our weekend, not for a week, because we've got to grow into that, you know, spending a whole week with each other. But no, the 15th to the 17th of May 2015, we've booked Whitemore Lakes, which is right next to the Arboretum. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, now, this isn't a conference weekend, okay? This is a church holiday together where we are family and fellowshipping together. I've asked Tony and Kay Smith to come and join us on the weekend. The only time that we will gather in a more formal setting is when we worship and praise and Tony speaks on a Sunday morning. The rest of the time will be organized events, free time. I want us to have fun on the Saturday night. Don't quite know what that means, but we'll do that. And so this isn't Borderlands. We're not doing a mini Borderlands. It's the 15th to the 17th of May. It's a well-equipped place. It's not particularly old. Anyone who wants to do that, we can do that. It's brilliant. It's even got a place where you can leave your children safely, Velcro to the wall, and come back to them later. So you don't have to worry where they are. If you want a bit of time on yourself, just stick them on this wall, and you can come back from later. That's great, isn't it? Have I got one more? Yeah. So I'm forming a team to organise that, but I want you to make it a priority. So how's this going to work? Well, this is my step of faith now. From each adult, we're going to ask for a £20 deposit, because then you're buying in. Okay. The children, we're not sure what we're going to do yet then. But then, we're going to take two offerings to pay for it. Okay. So you won't have a fee. You just give what the Lord says to give. Okay. But the commitment I want from you is, yeah, it's only just down the road. I don't want day visitors. I don't see family and fellowship being day visitors. I want us there as family for the weekend. Now, you can bring your non-Christian husband or wife because we're having a holiday. We're not going to bombard them with Jesus, but they'll be in the presence of Jesus. And I don't expect them to come on the Sunday morning if they don't want to. They might want to, and that would be a real prayer that they would, but I'm not expecting that. Okay, so I want you to put that in your diaries. Now, there is a Christ Central event next year, and there is New Day, but I've already said to Tony, for us on the journey we're on, this is a priority for us for 2015. Because this is will help more than any teaching can do about being family and fellowshipping together. I've got to move on. The fourth kingdom value, that's obviously American, that's not us. They just need how to spell properly, don't they? That's another. Again, all of these are huge. No, thank you. Thank you. Rosina, that's very kind. Okay. Now, honour, when you think of the word honour, you think of honour killings, don't think of the word, honour is a misused word in this world. But I'm not going to use it because the world misuses it. You look in the Bible, it's used 167 times. Romans says, be devoted. Is that devoted to one another again? In brotherly love, honour one another above yourselves. So there's a challenge to us to see people how God sees people. To treat them as God would treat them. And this starts from the eldership going down. This isn't something I'm saying to you, you need to grasp. I'm talking to myself here. It's about looking past people's shortcomings and honouring the gift and calling that's upon their life. It's seeing the godly potential and plans and purposes in every single person, even if they're not in the kingdom yet. Because are we not all created in the image of God? So a culture of honour is going to affect how we do prayer ministry, how we do evangelism, even the membership course. I don't want to call it a membership course anymore because that speaks of a club. We're a family. And it means as leaders, we're going to have to create a safe place for people to discover who they are and why they are here. Now, kingdom honour doesn't mean that we roll over and let everyone walk over us. That isn't what I'm talking about. It simply means that we value one another and those that we come into contact, we value them as people who have been created in the image and likeness of God. It is a huge, and we're going to have to start teaching and preaching into this. But that is not the only way. As I said at the beginning, it's catching, it's impartation, it's revelation. And we're going to all have to help each other in this. And finally, it's a cult. Oh, so that's the verse. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, the final culture is a culture of living supernatural lives. You know, signs and wonders were a daily part of the early church's life. They were people who were focused on his presence. And they were willing to live beyond reason. And I don't mean impulsively or foolishly. But they lived not by might nor by power. They lived by the Holy Spirit. And the realm beyond reason is a world of obedience to God. It's not what we think. It's not where we put the ceiling. We want to break through into what God has for us. I've quoted this before, but Billy Graham is credited with saying 95% of church activities today would continue if the Holy Spirit left. In the early church, 95% of activities would have stopped if the Holy Spirit had left. And you know, this goes back to our identity. All these values are intertwined. I'm not expecting you to understand them today. I don't understand them. We're catching this together. But we need to be purposeful in what we're doing. And you know, too often we feel small and powerless. Who feels small and powerless? I'm not talking about height. Yeah. So what we can do when we feel small and powerless is that we can dilute the word of God down to something that we can accomplish in our own weak state. But hang on, that isn't the people we're called to be. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We should expect the super in our natural lives. That's what makes the supernatural. I want to encourage you. Who's read Lisa's prophetic word? Lisa, you've read it? That's good. That's a good start. Okay, it's in the new sheet. I encourage you, look through that word and ask the Holy Spirit to help you throw off how you see yourself. And trust and step out in him to how he sees you. It will be life-changing. It brings freedom in the spirit. It will make you want to dance in the rain. See, our experience must line up with the Bible and the standard that Jesus and that God has set. Anything else is surely unbiblical. Well, when I read in the New Testament, I see healings, and Jesus sends us out to heal the sick, to release the captives. Surely that's what we should be doing. We must not lower our standard because of our lack of experience. We must be willing to open up to him. So from September, in the Kingdom Weeks, we're going to be doing a 12-week rolling course called Fire Starters. And I'm going to just read you a little blurb of what it says it is, because it isn't me. It says the goal of a fire starter, and we're not giving everyone matches, don't worry about that. Okay. It's to be motivated to live from passion versus performance or obligation. It's directed by purpose lived out through our God-given identity and destiny, and fueled by power expressed through purity, prayer, the prophetic, and healing. I'm excited and I don't even know what it's about yet, and I'm doing it. There'll be more details to follow once I've got all the material. That's all right. Yeah. You just pray for him. Lord, we just want to release Peter from this in the name of Jesus. Lord, if anything demonic, we release that now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak it off of him in the name of Jesus. We say, release him. Bring the peace of the Son, the peace of the Son in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what is this fruit? What is this fruit of kingdom culture? What is the fruit of this culture and atmosphere to be like? Well, I believe it's this. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. I believe in everything God wants us to do and the culture that he wants to call us into, that we will be, focus on me, folks, not Peter, that we will be the aroma of Christ. You know, I don't see this as a negative. It's what God is doing and will do in each of us in different ways. Because God wants the best for Peter. And what we're praying is that Peter sees that actually he is the best in God. And that's a journey. That's a process. So we also don't think, well, what can I do? What can I do? Well, we're family together. We pray. We support one another. We're at all different stages with this. But as we catch this culture in the coming years, days, weeks, months, I believe we as a people will be an aroma. Not just with one another, but actually to the communities that we live in. Yeah. That's the fruit. That we would be a people with this aroma, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, and that God would add to our numbers daily. Not because of what we're doing, but because of who we are in Christ. And I came across this little sign that says was on a store. I don't know if it was or not, but I love it. It says, there's no place anywhere near this place that's anything like this place, so thus must be the place. And that's the place I want us to be. That we stand out to that point. That people come here and they don't even know why they feel drawn here. But it's because of what God is doing with us. You know, God doesn't mind a small church. What he objects to is a small church with a small vision, because it limits him. And I want to challenge you to pray big dreams, have big visions. Not because you're puffing yourself up in who you are, but because of who God has made you in him. It's key to being a limitless people in his hands. We don't want to limit him. What I'm talking about is a way of life. It's being proactive. It's actually taking the time out to get alongside those as well who are further down the journey than us. And we will be encouraging that. But it's about having and catching that vision. Okay. I could cheer some more, but I don't feel I want to. I don't think we're going to sing Wendy after we've done that. I know you've prepared, I'm sorry. I think I'm just going to put the seat over. I just want to pray. And then what I want you to do, I know it's 12 o'clock, but I want you to get into your fellowship groups. If you need healing within your group, I want you to pray for that. Particularly pray for Bill and Sheila's group. I don't know who's in it, but I know John will want it. But you know, Sheila's broken her wrist. There's just endless things. Yeah, Marjorie's at the back, Marjorie. And I know there's others that could do with prayer. So Fumi. But within your group, ask those any prayer. Then I want you to ask just the Holy Spirit to come and just settle something in you from this morning. Don't try and understand it. We're on a journey together with this. But you have to choose to put yourself in the environment to catch it. So maybe that's where we need to start this morning. Just say, Lord, I don't understand all this. This is almost, some of it is foreign to my upbringing. Well, it's going to be because it's kingdom value, not worldly value. But Lord, I'm open for you to do whatever you want to do in my life. So Lord, I just ask Holy Spirit, you'll do that in Jesus' name.